We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, everyone, to Deprogram with Grace's Dad. Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024, and a Mothers for Justice episode. I'm Cindy Shera, our amazing Grace's mom, and joining me is Rebecca Charles, Danielle's mom. Our family's mission, exposing evil, got started because of an angel that God brought into our life. Don, will you please bring up Grace's angel picture? Hebrews 13:2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Grace was our angel unawares. We truly miss her, but we know God is using her to bring others to him. This picture that you see of Grace in the angel outfit was worn the Halloween after we lost our son Travis to suicide. She wanted to show the world that even though we knew the devil enticed our son Travis to end his life, she was going to shine the light of the Lord. And so she dressed up in her angel costume and had me take her around to the neighbors. And she was the little angel that blessed everybody that night of Halloween, the year that we lost our son Travis. Many of you know, due to the extreme darkness in the world, our beloved young girls' lives were tragically lost in October 2021. As Mothers for Justice, Rebecca and I, we stand for those who have lost loved ones who suffered due to hospital actions and the dangers of medical procedures and practices. These heartbreaking incidents emphasize the need for God's intervention and for accountability and remembrance in the face of such tragedies. Rebecca has launched a website. It's called deathbyhospitalprotocol.com. Don, will you please bring up Danielle and Grace's flyers? Flyers, like the girls, can be downloaded from Rebecca's website, deathbyhospitalprotocol.com, and customized with your loved one's details. Death by Hospital Protocol highlights the tragic lives of loss of lives from fatal hospital procedures under the guise of COVID. Rebecca's goal is to unveil the identities of doctors and nurses who have chosen to harm and kill loved ones, alerting others to their actions. This endeavor is reminiscent of Simon Wiesenthal, known as the Nazi hunter, who sought justice after the World War II Holocaust. You will see on her website, she is trying to collect pictures and information about the doctors and nurses that were involved in the terrible killings of not only our girls, but many others who have already filled out their information on her website. If you have a story to tell, please see Rebecca's contact information. It will be in the show notes.
Today's show is called Polly's Mission, Exposing Vaccine Injuries and Hospital Protocol. We are almost ready to bring in our special guests, but first I want to say Polly helped us launch our mission, Mothers for Justice. Cindy and I arrived late for the CHD bus. Polly's kindness stood out as she stayed behind to ensure all our voices were heard. She asked us what we would name the interview, marking the moment when Mothers for Justice was born. Don, could you please bring in Polly? And Don, please play the B-roll. Welcome, Polly.
Thank you for having again. Me.
Welcome, Polly. We are honored to welcome Polly Tommy. Polly is married to a wonderful husband, John, and is mother to Bella, Billy, and Toby. Polly also wears many hats. She is the director of CHD TV, the producer of Vaxxed, and executive producer of Vaxxed 2, producer of Who Killed Alex Spordalakis, editor-in-chief for the Autism File magazine, founder of the Autism Trust UK and USA. She's also the interviewer on the CHD Children's Health Defense Bus. She's traveled from state to state, attentively absorbing heart-wrenching stories of loved ones lost due to hospital protocols, vaccine injuries, and deaths. She brings firsthand knowledge of vaccine injuries, having experienced harm to her own son. People took the latest jab and had their children vaccinated. Many are now learning how none of our vaccinations were ever tested, and our loved ones were being used as test subjects for years. Don, will you please bring up the magazine cover?
Polly, before we delve into our questions, please introduce yourself. We are eager to learn about your son, Billy, who is on the cover, and your journey in advocating for autism awareness.
I haven't seen that cover for a long time. Thank you for showing me that. So that's Billy there. So where to start? I was, you know, extremely obedient. Why would you ever question a doctor? Mm-hmm. I vaccinated on time. Now you've got to remember, Billy's 27 now. So going back that time into England, we were really just getting a few shots compared to what we're getting now. But he just had one shot that day, and he had such a bad seizure. But they said in the hospital, it's completely normal. It's completely normal. Well, it's not normal, is it? It might be common, mm-hmm. but it's not normal for a healthy baby to have seizure like that. And honestly, he never really woke up out of that seizure. So his head was very swollen. He had encephalitis. He was thrashing his head. You know, he was super sick, but he was not like that before. So as a mother, you know something's gone wrong. And then they tell you you're crazy and all of those kind of things. Your family members tell you you're crazy.
Yeah.
And then that's made me so angry. Made me so angry. And that's what sparked me to go forward and find out who else out there has experienced what we've experienced. And that was the beginning of uncovering a journey that has been the best education I could ever have asked for. I've mm-hmm. learned, so I still am learning to this day yes. more and more. But that magazine back in the day was the only way of finding communication for each other, because we didn't have all the computers and everything that we do now. So we set up this magazine with absolutely zero training. My grammar is appalling. But we got through it with a whole bunch of mothers fighting. And then that's when we realized this is a worldwide issue. Vaccine injury is real and it's worldwide. So that started the whole mission, really. So there's that.
Wonderful, Polly.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. I couldn't believe how all of a sudden we realized how many people were impacted by vaccine injuries from the MMR. What Billy was affected by, correct? The MMR injection?
Yeah. And that's why, you know, you see all these, they get really angry if you say, like, the MMR caused my son vaccine injury. The word autism is what the medical professionals are giving it, because they can't call it vaccine injury, can they? So they throw autism at all these kids. And so that's why MMR does not cause autism is so big, because it clearly does.
Yes.
It's not the only reason. Of course, we all know that. But it's brain injury.
Yes.
They injured my son's brain to the point where he'll never live an independent life. And that's fine. I'm grateful I have him. Many, many people don't. Actually, I want to tell you a story, if you don't mind, because it's very powerful. I haven't really told this story publicly, but when Andy Wakefield, Del Bigtree, and I were touring after the first Vaxxed movie, I sat down with them both, and we were sort of in the middle of nowhere. I sat down with them both. Remember, we were in this hotel, and I said, I don't think I can do this, because everybody keeps coming up to me and saying I'm a hero, and I don't want to be a hero. I want to fight for justice for my son and find out how I can help others. But I don't like all this. Mm-hmm. Can I have a photograph with you? And it makes me feel uncomfortable and doesn't sit well with my faith. And they were like, okay. And then this is how God works. Then, as I said, we were in the middle of nowhere. This woman comes up to me and says, are you Polly Tommy? And of course, there's Andy Wakefield and Del Bigtree. But she says, are you Polly Tommy? And I said, yes, I am. And she said, I watched your Vaxxed documentary and it moved me greatly. She said, my son was exactly the same age as Billy, but my son died after the MMR. And she said to me, she held my hand, she said, can I have a photograph with you? And that's when I realized, this isn't about you, Polly Tommy. And you don't feel comfortable. It's about helping other people, recognizing we're coming together in our pain. And if a photograph is what it takes to comfort people, then so be it. But God immediately reacted to the fact that I was done, because I was making it about me, and I feel uncomfortable. It's not about me. It's about everybody around. And if we mothers can hug each other and do that with each other, then that's a great step forward towards helping us with the pain that we all feel in different ways. Because every single one of us, whether your child has vaccine injuries or injured or died from a vaccine or killed by hospital protocol, we all experience the same pain because our children were taken away from them as God gave them to us. We were deceived.
Yes, yes, that's the truth.
We're going to be touching more on the vaccines later on the show. But one of the other things that you have is one of your long bio descriptions is that you are the CHD bus interviewer. And we have watched several of the stories from the bus stories, and many of them have touched Rebecca and me. And we understand the heartache of losing loved one, just as you described. So really, as you think about being that CHD bus interviewer, okay, what has really been the mission? You know, you've got the mission as you're sharing the truth about these vaccine injuries, but now as you've taken this bus out and down, what have you found to be the ultimate mission of that bus traveling to state?
Well, first of all, we are Children's Health Defense, and it's a Children's Health Defense bus. So I persuaded the higher representative at Children's Health Defense that we needed to go back out on the road, because the lies in the media is, and the people don't have a voice. We're getting taken down from every social media platform where we're trying to warn the parents. The only way to find out the truth of what happened in the last 4 or 5 years is to get out on the road and speak to the parents. So as this new team set out, I knew we were going to get a few remdesivir stories, but I had nothing prepared our team for the amount and the fact that you're all saying the same thing. Every single story is the same in every single state. And that these were coming in thick and fast. And I knew at that moment, okay, this is why we're on the road. God wants the world to hear about what has been happening to his people. And I, you know, I take it a step further. And again, in this interview, I have to say these aren't necessarily the views of Children's Health Defense, but from what I'm seeing and my team is seeing on the bus, this is killing of the unvaccinated. There is a target on the back of the unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. And when I say unvaccinated, we interviewed a nurse, well, a few nurses that told us that if you're not up to date on your shots, you are classed as unvaccinated. So it seemed to me, from what I'm hearing from these parents, they would go through these hospital doors and, or people, loved ones that have lost. And the first question is, have you had the COVID shot? Or have you had the COVID vaccine, as they call it? No, okay, you go through this door. Yes, you have, okay, can go through this door. That is what we're seeing on the bus. And if anybody out there can correct me if I'm wrong, I want to know if I'm wrong, but that's what I'm saying. This was a target on the unvaccinated kids, or the kids and the people that were not up to date on their shots. And I interviewed someone who's an expert on the VAERS, and all the kids that have died or been injured have been wiped from the VAERS. We're really not seeing them. They've been put to one side. Because I asked them, where are all the children? Been vaccinating kids as well from 6 months up. Where are these? And they're not there. They're being held back for now because they couldn't possibly be seen to be killing children. That's the shots we're talking about. But yeah, the hospital protocol situation is so serious, so diabolical, so barbaric that we're going to stop the bus on the next leg and concentrate on making a documentary to show the world that there are, I think, millions killed worldwide, and you're all saying the same thing. No matter what country you're in, it's all saying the same thing. The amount of fentanyl that I'm seeing pumped in at the last stages, remdesivir, fentanyl, all these drugs that are barbaric, and then you've got all the amount that you know, they get paid for it. So it's as I remember Scott, your husband, telling that Grace's life was worth more dead than alive. I'm seeing that with all of these people. Mm-hmm. And it's barbaric. And paralytic drugs, so they can't move. And they're tied in four-point restraints. I mean, you know all this, and I hope I'm not bringing post-traumatic stress, but I'm seeing it over and over and over again.
Others need to hear this, so it's awesome that you bring that up, because we still have people that don't believe that this could have happened to Grace. And I said, it didn't just happen to Grace. It happened to so many other people. And if you start reading the stories, there's such a parallel with it, as you pointed out. And we have to educate the public. That's, you know, one of the biggest things that we wanted to focus on with today's show is that we have to get this message out. We have to get the message out about what they're doing through vaccinations, and we have to get the word out about what's happening in hospitals yet today. I mean, it's been, you know, how many years already since this whole narrative has been played out? There's lives continuing to be lost. Grace and Danielle died 2 years ago. We haven't told, just like you guys have been in this fight for vaccinations, you know, it's being hushed and being brushed under the rug, and it's got to be out there. I mean, these new parents are blindly being led to poison their babies, and it's got to end. It's just so horrific. Yes. So thank you for sharing that, because people do need to understand what happened. It's still happening. That's wonderful.
I want to just add to that, that from what I'm hearing and seeing, the RSV vaccination for pregnant women, we're already seeing great injury from that. We're already seeing unvaccinated babies. In other words, those are the babies that the mothers don't want to have the RSV shot, or being put on ventilators. So that is where they're going next with these. Oh, you've seen these pictures of the mother did not take the RSV shot. Now look at her baby. And you're seeing, it's reminding me of the hospital protocols, because in my mind, they're killing the children now. They're killing the babies. And that makes me sick.
Yeah.
So there's a warning out there to people. Please, please do your research. And when we say do your research, we don't mean go to your doctor and get the advice from your pediatrician, because that's not going to be the true informed consent. You need to find out the actual insert, and you need to look into that insert of that vaccination or shot and look at those ingredients. Do you really want all that aluminum in your child's body? They say it's safe, but do you really think any of these things are safe? And then the other thing I would do is go and speak to families who have started off vaccinating and then stopped. Same parents, same genetic environment. And talk to them and see for your very self which of those children are healthier. That's what I would recommend you go and do. Go and do your own research. The people are the truth, not sadly the medical profession. You can't trust them anymore. You absolutely can't. And this hospital protocol killing is still going on to this day.
Yes, yeah, it is.
One of the big things that you've been doing, Polly, is getting the word out via your two vaxxed videos.
My phone rings and it's Dr. William Thompson.
You and I don't know each other very well. You have a son with autism, and I have great shame now.
There's a whistleblower from the CDC who's going to come out and say that the CDC had committed fraud on the MMR study, and that they knew that vaccines were actually causing autism.
My oldest son, Ian, was walking and running. After the vaccine, he was no longer able to do that.
So I called a clinic and I said, I think my child's had adverse reaction to those shots.
And then came the head bang, the constant banging against anything that he could find.
Right now, I'm sitting in a very pretty position in terms of providing you a lot of information.
The first thing that Thompson did was to plot a graph. Now, if there's no link between early MMR and autism, those two lines should track together. Now, they do track together until they get to 15 months. Then they separate, and they continue to separate thereafter. And they sliced and diced the data in an effort to get rid of that effect.
The relative risk of receiving an autism diagnosis was astronomical.
Wow. The CDC had known all along there was this MMR autism risk.
In CDC's judgment, the best public policy is to continue vaccination unchanged.
You who run our health agencies in this country, you have an obligation to make sure that these studies are complete, thorough, so that we have all the facts.
Oh my God, I cannot believe we did what we did, but we did.
Omission of crucial data, destruction of documents, misleading the Congress, grievous harm to innocent children.
Everything I've been telling my patients for the last 10 years has been based on a lie and a cover-up.
Parents should be able to count on federal agencies to tell them the truth.
In 1978, the prevalence of autism was about 1 in 15,000 children.
If we assume that things are going to continue as they have, we can predict that by 2032, 80% of the boys born will end up on the autism spectrum. half the children, 80% of the boys.
It's a vast number of children who are being diagnosed with autism every day.
This is going to be a complete catastrophe if we just let it happen.
That is a very powerful documentary. And Polly, as a producer of Vax and Vax 2, you have highlighted the vaccine agenda that has jeopardized and devastated numerous lives. Despite this, both the pharmaceutical company and the CDC industry continues to push the vaccine as if it was business as usual. Today, in the US medical industry, we are overflowing with corruption to no end, and as a result, now we have vaccine-related injuries and death and hospital murders. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
A little bit about what we're seeing on the road, did you say?
The hospital murders and the vaccine-related injuries and deaths.
Yeah, okay, let's have a chat about what we're seeing on the road. Okay, so firstly, I want to make clear. So when, again, going back to Billy, when he's 27, he was 13 months when he had his MMR, and that's all he had that day, and he was brain injured and still is. Okay, we're not, that's basically, Billy is what they call bang smack in the middle autism. He's not high functioning, he's not low functioning, he's just a typical, what I call vaccine injured boy. Now, roll on to 2024 and we're in this bus traveling around America, I'm not really seeing the Billy type of vaccine injury. I'm seeing something way more serious. So if you look at the difference of the schedule then, compared to the schedule now, it makes sense. I am seeing children, two twins, I don't know if you saw that story, beautiful twin boys who cannot, they're 3 years old, they cannot even hold their heads up. They're like newborn babies, but big bodies. And the parents are just looking at them like this. I'm seeing little boys with track, with them polio symptoms everywhere, crippled children in wheelchairs, dribbling and unable to even hold their heads up. This is something completely different. This is another level. And those are the ones that survived, because the majority did not. We had little Isabella Zuggi, 10 years old, with her twin Arabella. Arabella survived, but Isabel, after her HPV shot, terrible headaches and is now dead. And nobody, that's not frontline news, is it? No, it's not frontline. We do a story on the bus. A 10-year-old girl is dead. Because she took what you told her, the doctors told her parents, she will never get cancer. Well, that's a lie for a start, yes. Because we that's not true. And your child is dead. So do they tell you when you go into the doctor, just so you know, your child might die, children have, your baby might die, and they'll call it SIDS, or your child will be hugely brain injured or paralyzed from the waist down, whatever all these afflictions are that we're seeing, all these injuries beyond belief. No, they just tell you it's safe and effective. And if your child gets injured, you're mad.
Yes, yes. And about the hospital murders that you've seen on the bus, because now it's, you know, very quiet. Could you tell us some more about that?
Yeah. Okay. So every stop we go to, the majority of the stories are hospital protocol death. Now, we allow 15 minutes for an interview, but when we see a hospital protocol, we have to go to half an hour because it's so, I need to hear it from beginning to end because I can't believe that everybody's saying the same thing. As is exactly the same thing, to the point where you can't ignore it. I don't care. They've got anecdotal. Oh, it's not true. It's just people talking. You're all saying the same thing. And yes. So this is serious. And the most disturbing thing for me is the brutal, barbaric way in which these people died. Mm-hmm. And the callous disregard. I don't understand how we could have medical professionals that can be so cruel to these people that are dying, being left in their feces, women sort of 60 to 80, left naked on a bed because nobody cares. Mm-hmm. No one's going to clean up your filth. And a lot of you, if you'd had the vaccine, if you'd had the COVID shot, you wouldn't be in this situation, would you? They were starved. They were not given any water or any fluids. They were not seen, they couldn't get to their loved ones. People were desperately trying, we have video of people desperately trying to get into these hospitals to save or at least give a little chip. Their phones were taken away from them.
Yes.
And they didn't really find out what happened to the people that they loved until they were dead. And they got the hospital records where they could go through all the lies that were being told. So when they did eventually get to speak to someone on the phone, and they said, please don't give remdesivir, please, we know how bad it is. We won't. After their death, medical records come in. Oh, they were given remdesivir, and a lot of it. Some were killed quickly, some were killed over time. But you can just see the amount of money that is going down there. But they were all killed. Now, the people who sit opposite us on the bus, they use the word murder. They say my child or my loved one was murdered. And I believe them. I believe them. I can see the pain in them, in their eyes, in their whole being. That pain is so strong and so intense of what happened to them that you know they're telling the truth. It's real. And this is what we've got to warn other people. You cannot just go into a hospital. These people weren't even going into hospital for COVID. They were just measuring their little sack things on their finger. They all start with that. And all went below 90, so they went for a little bit of oxygen. You can't do that anymore. You cannot go to hospital for oxygen. They will kill you.
Yeah. So it seems like the pulse ox was also a setup, because I fell prey to that. I checked the pulse ox. Scott checked the pulse ox. Most of the stories I heard, they checked the pulse ox. It's sad because our medical industry is not about healthcare. It's about death care.
What I'm trying to find out, though, Rebecca, is why I didn't never even heard of a pulse ox or whatever you call it until I went on tour. So how did you know about it? And where were you getting the information that when it got below 90 or whatever, you had to get some more oxygen? That's what I can't work out.
It was all on the news, on all the alternative media. Check your pulse ox on the news. Have a pulse ox. At one point in time, there was a short on pulse ox. So everybody was checking pulse ox. So it was the thing to do because of COVID, you know, but I believed before when you had a cold or a flu, if you had checked your pulse ox, it would have been low. Right. So it was a scam. I believe it was a total scam to get us in fear. Check the pulse ox. You run to the hospital because the pulse ox is low. And then that's where the debt came in. That's where the money came in. And again, you're worth more dead than alive. You know, again, it's all for profit. My daughter was sacrificed.
I completely agree. So when I did get, I don't know, something that seemed like flu or COVID or whatever, recently got real super sick from the bus, I think. One of our doctors in our movement, because we have connections, called in some ivermectin, and she said to my friend who was getting it from me, can you get her a pulse ox? And I was like, no. I don't care. I am not. Because what happens when you put that on is people get afraid and you think, oh my gosh, Polly's going to die. She's at 70 or whatever. She's going to die. We've got to get her to the hospital because we just, and that's where they kill you. That's the problem. So don't get a pulse ox or whatever.
No, we can tell people. I can't even look at the pulse ox I have. I never used a pulse ox before in my life until then. It was a big setup. And now with the pharmaceutical company still pushing this vaccine, where are we going to go from here?
It seems to me that they're either going to kill you, but you're in three camps. You're in that I'm going to get vaccinated with COVID because I'm afraid. Okay, so go ahead and do that. You may die. You most likely be injured. And there's only a certain amount you can take before you will die. So that's your camp. Then there's the other camp that were unvaccinated, went to hospital and got killed. So they're killing them then. Oh, then there's the other camp, which is small from what I can see right now, but getting bigger and bigger, where you just think, you know what? You killed my son or you brain injured my son. And we've been here before with you. We're not going to your hospitals and we're not going to get your shots. Now, that group is the strongest group right now. They don't have blood clots. They don't have any of the things we're seeing with the vaccinated, and they're not killed by hospital protocol. That said, we are seeing strong evidence of shedding. People listening, shedding is real. Mm-hmm. I hate to report that to you, but they seem to, the dark side, have got a plan, like a triangle of, we will get you anyway. And if you're not going to comply, we'll get you with the shedding.
I totally agree about the shedding.
Yeah, I mean, too many people have come and had their stories and they've told us, you know, this is the situation. And it's particularly strong when you've got a married couple and one was either in the military and had to go and get the shot, whatever. That kind of situation is when we're seeing real, really very big, strong shedding incidents. But, and you know, when people say to me, I had to get it, you know what? I hate to say this to you, but you didn't. It would have been nasty. You might have got, if you were in the military, whatever, dishonorable discharge or whatever they call it, or even honorable, whatever it is. But when people really truly realize that these shots can and do kill, forget all the other complications, why would you risk that? There's other jobs in this world. And even if there's not, the Lord will provide. But yes, don't, like they say, I had to get my kid vaccinated because I live in California and it's the law. Okay, then homeschool.
One thing that's really come to mind now is that looking at Grace and Danielle, we believe that they were killed and murdered to actually push this vaccine agenda. Because if they wouldn't have had the deaths, there wouldn't have been this fear that was pushed out there. And then, you know, the huge drive that was to get people vaccinated. This COVID is really bad. There's people dying and the way that they skewed the numbers and so on. And so Scott believes this too, is that the girls were killed just to play this narrative, push this vaccine narrative forward. And when I look at that, I mean, it was really just to fool everybody, but it was yet necessary for them to pull this off and for people to start accepting vaccinations. Now people are waking up, some people are waking up, but still, I mean, this huge, huge narrative is out there to push this. And I just, it really bothers me because of the fact that we, as you said, people didn't have to take this, but yet now our girls died so that they could promote it and make it even that much more of a necessity is how they've worded it. It's a necessity to get vaccinated because you could die from this or you could die from that. And it just makes me, my blood actually boil when I think about it, because now you really realize there, and your husband points this out later and we're going to play a clip from him, but how none of these vaccinations are good. But the COVID vaccination is what they were really trying to promote by killing people in the hospital. That's truly what we believe.
Yeah. And the injuries from these COVID shots are the ones that survived. They're living a life of misery.
Misery.
And then, and also, just to say also, we've interviewed more than I would expect, survivors from the hospital protocol. And there are, when they come out and speak, they're all heavily, because they've all been messed up with remdesivir and they're all on oxygen tanks, but by the grace of God, they managed to get them out. I don't mean, each one's a different story. Yeah. But that their accounts are very important because they account for what was going on in there that we couldn't get from the people that died. And they said the bullying and the evilness of the way they were treated was so intense. One woman was kept in a corridor and there was no one around. She was like in the basement of a basement of a hospital. No lights, no food. She couldn't see anything. It was awful.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
And they strip them naked. They humiliate them. Mm-hmm. It's really, really disturbing. Yeah. Again, how can human beings treat other human beings like that? It's beyond me. Yes. Everybody is somebody's baby. Everybody. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why and how can you be so cruel to another human being? And especially your girls, your beautiful young girls. Mm-hmm. It's just beyond understanding. It really truly is.
Right. Like Rebecca calls this, it's our American Holocaust. You think about what they pulled off during World War II. And we're seeing it here. And like you said, you can't fathom how can a human being treat another human being like that. I mean, we had rescued that one gentleman named Robert out of a Green Bay, Wisconsin hospital. And when we got there, like you're saying, Paul, how they were so degrading, he had special needs, but he was in the bed naked. They didn't even give him a gown. They didn't even bring him any of the bath and a bed wipes, so that he could wipe himself down. They said, you go use the basin in the bathroom. Well, he was a crippled man. He has spinal muscular atrophy, and so he's bound to a wheelchair. So what kind of treatment is that? But I mean, they would not bring him food, and his mom had to go get him his special food because he has an actual tube to be fed with. But I mean, he is so sharp. He's a computer guy, and he's creating this really cool app and so on. But I mean, the degradation of human life was just unbelievable, as you described. And it just breaks your heart. We had just heard a lady share her story who survived. I believe she was originally from Minnesota, and she shared her story, and I could not believe what they did to her either. But like you're saying, it's the survivors that are able to share and say what happened, and they're just as important, you know, as you pointed out.
Yeah, and the post-traumatic stress they're living with, it's awful.
Yeah. You know, Scott's been at this, you know, for 2 years, just trying to wake up people's eyes and point out how it goes back to the standards of care. You know, we've got this way of taking care of people, and now hospitals, I believe that they're using their artificial intelligence to actually make decisions to take care of people. But this whole standard of care narrative, how doctors won't even think anymore, nurses won't even think, but instead they're going to just let this machine, this artificial intelligent machine or Epic, decide how they're going to handle a situation. But you still have, in my mind, you still have a conscience that you stop what you're doing when you see it's killing people. You know, how can you continue to do this when God's given you a conscience and you see that the narrative that you guys are pulling off is not helping, but it's killing people? That's what really shook me. And I know that, you know, you guys are out there too, John, and you and several other parents with children with autism. You've been trying to educate the public and you try and, you know, bring some light to this evil. And yet at the same time, we are up against such a giant. Because the truth is trying to be kept from everybody. And when I think about how powerful the devil is in keeping this hushed, I mean, it's another another topic for another day, but you really see, you know, we are up against a huge, huge conglomerate of Satan and his minions.
Yeah, we are, but we have our boss is way stronger and he wins. So we know the end if we just gotta get there.
That is true.
We have two enemies here. We have the CDC that implemented the protocol, the government incentivized it to follow it, and then now we have 1.2 million died. We are witnessing an American hospital holocaust. And surprisingly, 4 years, the mainstream is silent. How could they be silent? I mean, doctors are performing, literally perform an execution on our patients, on our loved ones. It's execution in the worst way, in the most inhumane way, because I think when you're executed in a jail, you know, they just inject you and you go to bed. But my loved one, my daughter, was tortured, just as so many stories that you have heard. Could you tell us about some horrific stories you heard, Polly, on the bus?
Yeah, I want to say
about tossing and turning all night.
I know. I want to say about the mainstream media, they're not going to cover it because they're sponsored by the dark side. I mean, you really have to just look at who sponsors them. So, no, we don't need the mainstream media. We need to become the media. And I think you're doing that with what you're doing. We're doing it. And the people will start to come over. And sadly, for many people, it took me for Billy to be injured for me to even understand there was a problem. So I think, you know, sadly, a lot of people are going through these ghastly injuries and that's waking them up. But COVID has woken a lot of people up. I will say that a lot of people come sitting on the bus saying, I will never take another shot again. Or many people saying, I will never trust a hospital protocol. I will never go back into the hospitals again. I mean, I don't know what we do when we break legs and stuff, but again, who wants to go in?
Right.
So we're going to have to set up our own little things. But yeah, going back to the, I mean, hospital protocols. So here's what I'm hearing. Okay. You're all saying the same thing, bar a few, of course, but pretty much always it's the same thing. It starts off with that silly thing that you put on your finger, the pulsy thing that we talked about earlier. That, as we discussed, Rebecca, is for sure a scam because everybody, what I'm seeing is most people start panicking because their stats were below 90 or something. So, and everyone's panicking, oh my gosh, it's not going to breathe. We'll just go and get some oxygen in the hospital, and then we'll be on our merry little way. They all get to hospital. Are you vaccinated or unvaccinated? Again, you're unvaccinated, you go that way. You're vaccinated, you go that way. Then they have to get a positive COVID test. So we had nurses and stuff on the bus saying they would be slamming these tests in and out and anywhere they can till they got a positive. They had to get a positive. So that was a scam. The minute they get a positive, and from what I'm hearing from many of these nurses, they're not even the positives from the patients that come in. They're just, oh, she has a positive now. They go up on the ward, then they get slowly starved, put on remdesivir, depending on each, this bit, sometimes people had different experiences, but on the whole, it was like, which one of these COVID patients am I going to take up to ICU and vent now? Eeny, meeny, I'll take you. And the nurses talk about how they were sent down to pick someone to go on the ventilator. So I am not hearing about vaccinated in the special unvaccinated ICU COVID wards. They were the unvaccinated. Again, we're hearing that if you're not up to date on your shots, you are classed as unvaccinated because you're not up to date. So you're unvaccinated, doesn't count. Then these poor people, I mean, a lot of the parents or the people that sit opposite me and tell me about their loved one, they have vague memories until they get the records, the medical records, because they're treated so badly on the phone by the hospital doctors or whatever. Well, what do you expect if your husband didn't get the shot? Stop bothering us. We are very, very busy. Now, the people who were survivors tell us that these nurses were just laughing and joking in the corridors. They were desperately trying to get some water or desperately trying to get some help. And they would be like waving and mocking them. So we're hearing a lot of really cool stuff up on that ward. Occasionally someone will report there was one nice nurse who would try and give us a few chips, one nice everywhere, but very rarely would we hear that. Then they would be told that they're going to get ventilated and they would fight. They would fight. They don't want to be ventilated, so they'll be given the paralytic drugs. Mm-hmm. That means that now they now can't fight. A lot of them would be crying. Then there would be 4-point restraints straight into the ventilator. And we are also hearing that people would get phone calls from loved ones. The loved ones would get phone calls from the hospital saying he's doing or she's doing really well. So I think probably by the end of the week, we're going to see some good things, maybe get him or her home or into a different kind of treatment. Seems they got these phone calls before they get another one going, I'm sorry, we had to vent him last night or her last night. So there's a big pattern of this nice phone call before that we're going to vent him. And a lot of them then going back to the records, they were already vented when they got the nice calls. Wow. So a lot of that going on. And then, of course, in comes the fentanyl and all the other drugs to end-of-life care to knock them off. And many seeing their loved one for the first time when they're dead, being horrified at the bed sores, horrified at the feces and the not being shaved and just being treated appallingly. Some report have been seeing little bits of food that they try to send through up to the hospital, still there, rotten in a bag, never given to them. So it's that over and over and over again. And the absolute shock of the person that's sitting on the bus telling us a story is, even if it's 3 years ago, 2 years ago, the pain is intense and raw. Yes. And they're angry and they're sad. And many, it seems also a lot of men aged between sort of 60 and 80, that the big trend of those being the favorite ones if a husband and wife go in. And the wives now are reporting they don't have an income now.
Yeah.
So they have no money, so they're dealing with grief, no money, and do not know what to do with themselves. So it's horrific, actually. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're seeing.
It's a deliberate mass genocide by the ones you trust the most, the white coats.
And you know, it's actually right. And other ones say that they're called up, you know, they get a phone call saying, look, your loved one is going to die soon, so come and say goodbye. And so they come up and they're on the ventilator or whatever it is, and they say, right, now you've got to be really kind and you've got to let us give a really nice cocktail of stuff to let your husband or whatever it is go. And they would say, that's not what we're here to do. I want you to take them off the vent. I want to get this back. I want to give ivermectin. I want to do that. And they would be shouted at, you are murdering your loved one by not allowing us to give this cocktail.
Oh my God.
So there's a lot of that going on as well. So very traumatizing for these people, because now, obviously they're in shock then, but now they're looking back and thinking, what just happened there? Was I part of murdering my husband? So yeah, it's intense.
Yeah. What Scott had said is when you see the CDC COVID protocols as murder, you know, it really exposes the agenda for population reduction, because that's really what we're seeing. You know, the Bill Gateses and head honchos up above, that's their mission, is because they think they're going to live here for the rest of their life on this world, this earth, you know, so they want to save the planet because they think they're going to live here. They've harvesting organs so that they can keep themselves alive. But there's too many people here. And so, you know, this whole narrative is part of the population reduction. And you think about, you said like millions of people, you know, that you have heard have died. And that's how we feel too. There's at least a million with the vaccinations. And then there's a million people that have died with these hospital protocols that have been carried out. I mean, it's just horrific.
The people who took the shots are getting, they're now just being diagnosed with cancer and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. We won't hear about that because they were going to get cancer anyway, right?
There is a huge thing, turbo cancer, which we had Megan, I'm trying to think what her last name is, Rebecca, that we had on. And she had talked about how there was this huge, massive cancer awareness now coming out, and couldn't even get my words out just because of what happened with these vaccinations. There is just huge, huge stuff. And then, you know, you just think about how many more people are going to die from that.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
After watching what happened to your girls, Billy will never go to hospital. There's no way he can go to hospital.
Yeah.
No.
And that's thanks to you that you woke me up to that. So Billy will be safe because Billy will never go.
Right. Yeah. I think we all have PTSD from what happened. I mean, if I see a doctor or nurse, I start panicking. And every day I have to think about, if something happened to me, what would I do? Do I have enough things to take care of myself at home that I will die at home? You know, I prefer to die at home. I don't care how I'm going to suffer, but I prefer to die at home. They're not going to torture me like they did my daughter and so many others.
No, I'm sorry it happened to these girls. I mean, it's just it's an absolute disgrace. And the pain, the problem is the pain is so intense because the more you think about it, the more you think, could I have done this? Could I have done that? And it goes round and round in your head, the hold of my nose. From speaking to people and also from what happened to Billy. But we have to... we can't undo it. So the way I look at it now is we have to go forward and save the future generations and warn them of what has happened to our children. Yeah. And so that, and it's also kind of, in a way, helps mentally to keep forging forward. You both are doing this amazing podcast and I'll keep going out and listening to stories and we all just keep doing it. Yeah. And one day we'll be with the people we love again.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for that, Polly. Thank you.
Yeah, I love that you said that we have to be the media, the new media. Mm-hmm. You know, because we can't rely on the other media. They're not for us. No. We have to be working, you know, together. And I think that's just awesome. One thing that I wanted to bring up about the vaccinations is, you know, Rebecca said how, you know, that's really in the public's eye right now. You hear about the vaccinations and you're starting to hear about the vaccination deaths and injuries of some sort. But the reason why is that happening? You know, Scott had just said to me, he believes that they're making it now look like their government is really caring and they're concerned about what has been happening to people. So that later on they can throw Pfizer underneath the bus and then say, oh, you know, we're gonna charge Pfizer. And then you guys didn't get all this money. So then all of a sudden it looks like, you know, people that have been victimized are going to be compensated. But really, it's just another mask for what's to come, because the government doesn't care about us. I mean, we know that this whole vaccine agenda was a huge narrative, just a huge evil conglomerate. And so when you think about that, you know, why do you think it is? I mean, this is what Scott had thought. Do you have a different idea of why, you know, they're now slowly exposing or saying what's happening to some of the people with the vaccinations?
I mean, I don't think they want that out. I think it's because of, you know, the FOIA requests, the people like Children's Health Defense and ICANN and people like that that are demanding. And I think also you've got to remember, you know, on the whole, most of the judges in the courts, I feel, are bought and all that kind of stuff. But they're seeing injury and death as well. And so I think the whole thing is changing. When you hurt somebody's loved one, you change.
Yes.
And I think we don't know what's going to happen, because I don't think the dark side, even they've got about 17 different ways they could go. And they're like, which button are we going to push now? You know, is it going to, we know disease X, whatever that means, is coming. We know that bird flu and measles, and they're trying to frighten everybody. We know all of that is coming. But they also, the dark side, know they've got a bit of a problem, because we've just woken up. It's backfired on them, because yep. we've just woken up a ton more people. And you've got a lot of people that are angry because of what have happened to the people they love. So I don't think we know which way they're going to go. All I think that everybody should do is first thing everyone should do is tell their story. And everybody has a story. People come up to us and they go, well, I don't really have a story. Yes, you do. And here's your story. Did you take the shot? No. Okay. Did you get COVID? Yes, I did. How did you treat it? Ivermectin. Do you have blood clots? That's a story. No, you don't. So you're fine. You go into that category. Everybody mm-hmm. get out there, tell your story. If they take you down, find another way. Go to this show here and say, can you have us on? Come to CHDTV. We'll have you on. And keep mm-hmm. Dark side don't want more than anything else is for us to come together and speak the truth. They want us to live in fear. And they want us locked down. They want us 6 feet apart. They want our mouths covered up with masks. All of those things they want, because their biggest fear is us, the people, saying, no, we're not going to have it. We're not going to do what you're going to tell us to do. You can frighten us all you like, but we are not going to do it. And that's what I think. I think, honestly, I'm 100% sure when they launch the next thing, as scary as it may be, someone told me on the bus, a military person came on the bus and said, oh, it's going to be the anthrax vaccine that they're going for now, which is super dangerous, as we all know. They're going to pretend there's, you know, a war, big war, and anthrax is in the air, and it's all, I don't know, Russia's fault or whatever it is they want to say, China, Russia, blah, blah, blah. And everyone has to go and get the anthrax or they will die if they breathe in. Well, the way I look at it is, no. Let me look at my chickens. Are they still alive outside? Good to go. Are the birds dropping from the sky? No. But people will fall for it again.
Yes, they will.
So stay in the word mm-hmm. and stay strong. We're commanded to not be afraid. So let's do that. Let's stand together. And here's the good news. There are so many good people on the roads of America. We are meeting good people. There are way more good people than there are bad. So remember mm-hmm. that. They want us to think there's way more bad. There is not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Corey Ted Boom, he pointed out one time in one of her talks was that when Satan took some of the angels and, you know, decided to be destructive, she said there was only one third of those. She said there's two thirds more good angels out there. And so she said, you know, we have them fighting for us. And I just thought it was cute how she had worded that, because you start to think of the worst scenario, but yet you think about, okay, we have God. He's much more powerful. We have all of, the two thirds angels that are out there fighting for us. And so we are outnumbered. We are not outnumbered. We are definitely in a good position. The next thing I want to have us look at is we've been calling the jab the latest lie in the vaccine agenda. And CHD put out this video, and Scott and I had been sharing it with a lot of people. And so I want us to look at that real quick, because it just shows how the whole vaccine agenda is a lie. So Don, will you play the CHD clip?
Number Do six. Vaccines deserve the credit for reducing contagious diseases? The answer is no. Here are some diseases that vaccines supposedly prevented. Notice how all the lines tend to move in the same downward direction. Now, here's when the vaccines were introduced for diphtheria, whooping cough, polio, and measles. What about scarlet fever and typhoid? They also went down at about the same rate. Well, we never had a vaccine for those two. Looking at the data, what do you think is really going on here? Why were all these diseases declining long before vaccines? The answer is obvious when we overlay this data line. It represents something very simple. This line shows the rate of Americans without indoor plumbing in their home. Clean water. Clean water made the difference, because filth is actually the main cause of all these diseases. So in the 1900s, when more and more people got clean running water, private toilet facilities, baths, and better sanitation, guess what happened? Contagious diseases literally went down the drain. You can say it's a coincidence, but think about poor parts of India or Africa. There's poverty, crowded conditions, poor water quality, no indoor plumbing, and bad sanitation. And what else do they have? All those diseases that we used to have. Vaccines get the credit for health improvements, but honestly, the credit should probably go to plumbers and engineers. They made the difference.
I just think that is so powerful because it is so true. And even now, I mean, they are saying like in Africa, they need to push these vaccinations and so on because of it being an area that is not, you know, set up to have clean water and so on. And so the government plays this narrative that, okay, you know, getting vaxxed is worth it because there's only this small percentage of people that are going to have autism or that are going to have adverse reactions or are even going to die. And so then that's these lies just keep the vaccine agenda going. And as this clip showed, they lied about the illnesses to get the people to take the shots. And this time we know COVID was the big illness. And so that was the problem. And then they raised the fear amongst people, which was the reaction which they intended to have. And then ultimately they incentivized the killings, you know, in the hospital and pushed that, like what I, as I said earlier, Grace and Danielle died. So that was incentivizing people, oh gosh, I don't want to die. So I need to take this vaccine, this COVID vaccination. And then now, you know, here we are. We have multiple deaths, multiple injuries, and it just keeps spiraling. And so when I look at this, it's all about carrying out their evil plan. And so, as you pointed out earlier, the fact that we get out there and we share what's going on, hopefully we'll wake up more people, but we are definitely up against an evil giant.
100%. 100%. We are. And we've got to keep shouting out about it because a lot of people out there right now are just thinking, oh, well, COVID's over. Nothing's going down. Everyone just chill out. They're still killing people in hospitals. People are still getting hurt by the shots, not just the COVID shots, as we're hearing, HPV, Gardasil. All of them, in fact, have dire side effects. So we've got our duty is to keep shouting out and keep warning.
Yeah, oh, thank you. What do you think about the government giving the pharmaceutical company liability since 1986? They're immune to liability, Polly. Have you been able to do anything to stop that?
We need a good president to get in that can stop this because, quite frankly, that is where the crux of the problem lies, outside of all the fear and everything else. It lies with the fact that nobody's liable. So if you're not liable for anything, you can just go ahead and have some fun. And that's what's happening now. I would say the biggest dangerous point for every single young mom listening is your pediatrician. I can't tell you enough how you need to find a naturopath or a pediatric chiropractor. Please stay away from these pediatricians. They are incredibly dangerous. And your baby's got to go in and have all these well checks. We call them hell checks, but well checks.
That's awesome.
Because what they do is they'll just measure your baby's head and you'll weigh it and then they'll vaccinate it. Yeah. So what you're doing is you're taking in a perfectly healthy baby and it's gonna be injured in some way or shape or form. So I really, and I can say this, I'm not, what are they going to do? Take away my license? I don't have a license. But I mean it. You need to stay away from these pediatricians and you are the mother. You have way more power than you give yourself credit for. Your baby is healthy, you're breastfeeding your baby, you're going to be absolutely fine. But, you know, there's great pediatric chiropractors. I highly recommend them.
Now, with the pediatricians, right, the pediatrician sees the baby's healthy, give the vaccine, then the baby's damaged, and goes, opens his office tomorrow and do the same thing over and over and over. I mean, this is like, you are witnessing this because the parents are coming back to you and saying, look what happened to my child. I mean, have we lost all the doctors to this?
I mean, I can't, it's difficult to know what to say about these pediatricians. You're either incredibly brainwashed and not very clever and just following CDC. I don't know how you can not know this is happening because you're getting paid for every single child that has a vaccination for a certain amount in your clinic that is up to date on this. That's why they shout at us. because that means their money goes down. So I'm actually putting the pediatricians in the evil category, because you are injuring our children. You know you're doing it. And in fact, you're murdering them, because when those parents lose their babies at 2, 4, 6 months following the shots, you then scream it's not the shots. One pediatrician sent, I don't know if you've ever seen Carrie Bundy's story, but she was told with her little premature baby that if she didn't give the pertussis vaccination to her son, then she would be signing his death certificate. And she said, but he's so small, can we just wait? And the pediatrician was like, no, you have to do this now. And of course, he found him dead in his cot, in his crib. And the pediatrician sent a teddy bear to the funeral.
Oh, gosh.
That makes me sick.
I mean, it is sick. This really needs to be out in the mainstream media. This really needs to be spoken about.
Yeah, we've got to keep going and keep going, but then they censor us because they don't want us to. So that's why it needs to be all of us out there speaking up and being totally unafraid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the show, you mentioned about how people have been coming to you and saying they didn't have a choice to get the vaccination. And one of the things that we wanted to bring up today is about how, yes, there is choice. But yet again, the way the propaganda in the media is, do we have a choice? And so I want Don to bring up this choice slide. But before that, Scott and I were watching a few of the narratives for your Vaxxed and Vaxxed 2. And we saw that on the bus, it had mentioned there where there is risk, there must be a choice. And so we're going to take a look at this. So you see the picture of the bus on the bottom. And then we found a shirt where it is. So where there's risk, there must be choice. But really, when we think about it, do we have a choice? Because the propaganda is so unbelievably great out there. So we already know that the viruses, you know, promote fear, which is then reinforced by the propaganda. And so we have the propaganda bus that we have your bus that is showing and exposing the stories. But we found this picture of a bus that is really promoting vaccinations. Like, oh, it's a wonderful thing. Here's this vax bus that goes around in this town, and you know, you can jump on and get your vaccination. So it's just masking what's really going on. So that's one of the cases of the narrative. Then there's another one where we have doctors that, I believe Scott said, if they get 70% of their patients to get the vaccination, they get like a $250,000 bonus. So again, they're paid to kill us.
Yep.
They're paid reinforced. I mean, it's just like in the hospital. They should have been getting bonuses for keeping people alive, and instead they were getting paid to kill people. And then on top of that, then here's this one that really is a big one. It's a picture of babies from 1986, the few vaccinations that they got, which even then they shouldn't have got anything. But now look at all the ones that they inject these babies in their first year. So from 1986 to 2024. I mean, this poor baby is injected with all of this poison. And then, you know, it's so mind-boggling that, you know, as young parents, they are not awake to this. But yet at the same time, the propaganda is out there just pushing it. So they are really up against stuff. And the other day, another piece of propaganda was I have the weather app on my phone, and bingo, right away in the morning, I had like 3 or 4 different things that came up pushing the vaccination. And one big one is about making sure that if there's a pregnant mother, that she needs to make sure that she gets the flu shot, because you want to protect yourself and your baby. And so it's really out there. So when I think about it, do we really have a choice? You know, we look at it, yeah, we do, but then if you're not awake and you have all this propaganda right in front of you, do you really have a choice? So what is your thought?
I think we do have a choice, but the problem is if you don't know that there's going to be an issue, like when I had Billy with the MMR, I had a choice. I didn't know I had a choice, but I had a choice. And the doctor was like, you know, if you don't give him this, he's going to become deaf. And it fascinates me that because I'm 50, 60, it fascinates me that I had measles, I had mumps, and I had even rubella. I had all of these things, chickenpox, everything. And it was really just regarded as a mild childhood illness. And yet it fascinates me that I got then to be a mother myself X amount of years later, and I'm suddenly scared of becoming deaf from measles. I don't think It's so, and the problem is we were all taught, I think it starts in school. And if I was to be a young mum and start again, I would absolutely not put my children in school, because what it does is it teaches you, oh, Polly, you can't behave, so you're going to have to go and see the headmistress, or you're going to have to stand in the corner. You're asking too many questions. Obey, obey, obey. If you're clever, Polly, you may be able to grow up to be a lawyer or a doctor if you're really clever. So at a young age, you learn to sort of bow down to the very clever people who have white coats on. Why, you know, I come from an era of children should be seen and not heard and all that kind of stuff. So I think if we start to, young mums now should say to their children, question everything. You don't need to be rude, but question, follow your gut instinct. We actually call it your God instinct, but the instinct inside you that's telling you, no, that needle inside your baby, it doesn't feel right, does it, mummy? No, so don't do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's true. Like, we believe God designed our bodies to resist disease. So this was overlooked. This, you know, God didn't overlook this in creation. Consider this. If our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made as God made it, vaccinations are not necessary.
That's right. It's like saying, okay, here's your newborn baby. Now, I'm going to give it a Hep B and a vitamin K because God made a little bit of a mistake. So I'm just going to put that right for God. And then on we go. Think about it like that. And that's the kind of education we should be brought up with, not the brainwashing nonsense that's in schools these days. I put schools down as almost as dangerous places to be as a pediatrician's office.
Yeah.
I love that. That is true, especially today. Mm-hmm. You know, what they're pushing. I mean, so many evil things.
That's right.
I agree. I think back to when I, like you said, you had measles, mumps, and rubella. I remember getting measles. I remember getting mumps, and it was nothing. I mean, yeah, you had your neck was swollen, but it wasn't bad at all. Last night, when I was searching for some more information for the show, one of the things I ran across was a 60 Minutes program. I believe it was out of Australia. And there was a pediatrician there that was talking about the measles. And he was showing, you know, these poor babies, and if they get the measles, I mean, he was just so adamant that this is, the MMR vaccination is so vital, because if you get measles, and I thought to myself, yeah, you're making this out to be so horrific so that it puts this fear inside of people again. I couldn't get enough of this guy. I just wanted to take the gun out and shoot him, because I was just so ticked off. I thought, how can you keep saying this when people have survived measles for years, but yet that fear factor was being put out there again. Now we want to point out, like, okay, we know that God created our bodies in a beautiful way. We were fearfully and wonderfully made, but the way that society puts it, like you were saying, they want us to think that we need all these vaccinations. But here's a couple examples of what actually happens when we don't fall trapped to the snares of Satan. So Don, will you bring up the Amish picture? So Rebecca, why don't you're the one that found this.
Yeah, well, the Amish kids, they almost have 0% autism. And this is what happens when you raise your child up the way God wants you to raise them up. Healthy food, no preservatives, sunlight, walking around barefooted. These are what, you know, God's children are supposed to be.
Right. And here it said, too, that I believe there's very few diagnosed with cancer even, or heart failure. And I think about Grace. Grace had Down syndrome. We did not vaccinate her one bit. And I think about all the things she was able to do. I mean, she played violin, you know, she drove a car. She drove, you know, her lawnmower, the golf cart, snowmobile. You know, she was an actor and a dancer. And, you know, I think, you know, without those vaccinations, she was able to just flourish. And I believe that every Down syndrome child and every other special needs child, if they wouldn't have gotten these vaccinations, their life could have been so much more different because of that. But these vaccinations, I mean, you have seen it with Billy. And now when I think about that, I was like, oh my gosh, what an eye opener. And you think about how vaccinations have really dumbed us down. And then they maimed us. I mean, they wanted us to be, you know, injured.
That's right.
Which is just unbelievable. Don, there is another slide I want you to bring up. Is from a book called The Poison Needle. And here, going hand in hand with the slide, there's a clip that I want to show you that gives us a gasp. But here, this is just showing Actually, Rebecca, I'm going to let you describe this because you know better than I in this one.
Well, in the 19th century, you know, there didn't exist any needles. And then here we go, 20th century, you see the epidemic, the 21st century, you know, everything is based on fraud. And it's important, like you said, for us to keep out there and speaking. But we need to show, you know, from the beginning when there was no vaccines and showing how unhealthy and deadly these things are to the kids. So I think that's really important what you're doing, Polly, what we are doing and speaking out, because we need a future generation and we are losing them every single day to these vaccines.
Right. Sorry. Yeah. Don, there's a clip that goes along with that slide there. Could you play that clip? It correlates vaccines with cancer.
And one of the last things that Dr. Mendelsohn said before he passed away, he told a friend, Clint Miller, he said, you know, I've had to come to the conclusion that all of our doctors today are nothing but drug pushers. And that was a harsh assessment, but I would tend to agree with him, because what the doctors are doing, they're simply writing prescriptions for the drug trust and loading people up with all these things. And in the Library of Congress, I found some very small, unknown books by various doctors, which doctors who were dissenting from the medical practice over the past 50 or 60 years. One of them was a Dr. W.B. Clark of Indiana. And in his book, I found a very interesting sentence. He said, I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. Now, he wrote this in 1936. So to me, that was quite a revelation. And other doctors have said the same thing, that vaccination is really a time bomb within the human system that can go off 5 years, 10 years, 40 years after the end of the vaccination. You can have this time bomb go off. You could have a stroke, a heart attack, because it's always there in your system. You never get rid of it. And apparently, it's always an alien force in your physique.
Shocking. Wow.
Okay. Just powerful. I mean, Rebecca, she's you know, talked about how these pharmaceutical companies are just, you know, drug pushers. These doctors are drug pushers. And
I mean, I call them legal drug pushers.
Yeah, that's what she calls them, legal drug pushers. Yeah. It is just mind-boggling to think how we are just so duped. And we don't watch a lot of TV anymore, but when we turn it on, I mean, almost every commercial is pushing some type of drug for something. I used to have a salve that I put on eczema when I was a kid. And I saw a commercial the other day that there's a pill to take for eczema now. And then there was the gamut of side effects that could come from taking that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it is like, that's all we do is we just have a drug pushed in front of us for this or that. And I thought, what happened to the old school remedies?
It's a drug for every emotion. So if you're feeling depressed or sad, don't worry, we can fix it. We can fix absolutely every emotion and every feeling. So it's dangerous and it's awful, and everyone needs to stay away from these people. We need to get back to the old days, the simple days.
Yep. I have a cookbook that is a honey cookbook, so all about honey. And I opened it up the other day and I couldn't believe all the home remedies that were in there to use honey. And so, I mean, that's one of the things that we used to use when we were kids. I mean, my dad would bring up the honey if we had a cough or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we do, like you said, go back to the old days when we had remedies that just naturally helped take care of us.
That's right.
So, yeah. Before we close the show up, we want to play a clip of your husband, John, getting back to the vaccines and how you guys are really trying to expose what these vaccines are doing to everyone. And your husband just did a great job in this. So he just nailed it. You know, if you're awake to what's happening out there, to the vaccine agenda, I mean, and if you're not, this will wake you up. At least I believe so. So, Don, will you play this clip of Polly's husband discussing his recommendations?
John, jump in here. You've been advocating since day one. And, you know, the work that you've done, you and Polly have done, helping other families as well as helping yourself and your own special son is tremendous. What do you want to say?
So I went in, as every other father here goes in, to see their doctor for their routine vaccines. We were told they were safe and effective. The biggest lie on the planet is that. Okay. Number two, I was naive and I trusted the white coats. That is something that I will never do and no one should do. They should look for their own informed consent, read the insert, make a wise decision, listen to us parents and other parents. Polly toured America, Australia, New Zealand, and got stories from parents with vaccine injured kids. And we're not just talking the MMR, we're talking the whole lot. So no vaccine is safe and effective. Every vaccine is toxic. So unless you as a responsible parent does your own research and reads about it and makes a wise decision. I made the biggest mistake in my life in trusting the white coats and not doing my homework. Secondly, we have to take away the No Liability Act from pharma and the manufacturers of these shots. We also have to take away all of the conflicts of interest, the paid money to these doctors, the promotion of these antipsychotic medications, and all of this.
That was great.
Yeah, Polly, your comments
on that. I love my husband. When he goes off on one, as I say, I don't know why he's still even on Facebook or all these other places, because he really does. He gets in the car and rants and rants. But, you know, everybody should really do it in their own way, because John has a certain way of doing things. I do, you do, whatever. And you've got a twin out there that's going to go, that's how I speak. Thank you for telling me. So don't think, somebody once said to me, oh, what can I do? I don't feel, you know, like I can do anything. You can do what John just did and speak from the heart.
Right.
And you can see in my husband there that he still has a lot of emotion. Can you see that? I see it. And that's not how when he's talking about it, it's so painful to him. You know, it's very, very painful to him. And it is for me too, but for him, I think the men get it really hard. They just never get the chance to speak out. We need more men shows, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was phenomenal to listen to those five dads share their heart and what their life is like.
Yeah, because... and you just want to say Brian Hooker was the host of that show, and Brian Hooker does not get the credit that he deserves. There would be no Vaxxed or any of those things if it wasn't for Brian Hooker. He's our chief medical officer. He's the one that got William Thompson recorded. Brian Hooker does so much, and he just is so humble. But I want everyone to know that he's, like I say, he's our chief medical officer, scientific officer for Children's Health Defense. We could not be more honored. And he is a brilliant, brilliant man. And he wrote the book Vaxxed, Unvaxxed, Let the Science Speak.
Right.
It's a brilliant book that I wish I'd had, because it shows the difference between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. So, yeah, just wanted to just say that. What a great man Brian Hooker is.
Now, you and your husband put together a book or published a book also. I forgot to ask you about that. So that is, I'm trying to think what the title is.
So you know, it was so long ago. I have to say to everyone, I don't recommend it. I tell you why, because when we wrote that, I hadn't gone on tour and listened to the parents. I just thought it's the MMR that was a problem. I didn't know that the babies could. I don't think I recommend vaccinations in it. I'm just talking about how to get through life with a child with autism. But I think there are way better books out there. We just wrote it at the time to try and help the people and with the knowledge that we had. But now that I know what I know, I would say there's way better books than that out there. But yes, we did write a book.
But that book then gave some advice for parents that had a child that was diagnosed with autism.
Yes.
And how you could help them with foods and different things like that, techniques that take their mind and kind of redirected them as well.
And how to deal with mummy groups as well. I would write from the mummy side of just saying, you know, when you walk into a play group and they were just like, I'm sorry, Billy's not welcome because he slams doors. So how to deal with people that say, oh, it's genetic. It's, you know, how to deal with it. I did that side of it. And then John did the more sort of what we were feeding him, what we were trying to get. But again, it's an old book. I think it's still up to date, but I didn't really go off on one about the vaccines other than the fact that I mentioned that Billy was injured by the MMR, because I didn't know about it then.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, it would probably be beneficial, I'm sure, you know, some information, and it could be very vital for people. And, you know, if they're just beginning and starting out, you know, with a new baby that, you know, just got vax injured.
So, sure, absolutely. I actually, on that note, I just want to say one other thing, if we've got a second. I see. So we have people that are just doctors, particularly, who are just waking up because of COVID. They're just coming on over to us, but they're like I was when I wrote that book. They're not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. And I see people in our movement shouting, "Controlled opposition! Don't trust this person." We have to treat them much better than that, controlled opposition or not, or whatever that even means. These are people that are just waking up, and we have to go gently with them. We can't be screaming at them if they say, "Oh, well, maybe this polio vaccine's safe." Well, we know it's not, but this person's just coming around. So we gently, gently don't scream at the people that are new to our movement is my message. I get it, but don't do it because it's not going to help us.
Yeah, it's almost like when you meet a new Christian, and you can't just bombard them with everything. You know, no. You want to save them, but that's not where God has them at that moment. And so you have to just plant that seed and let God let that seed flourish. Right. And so I think that's a good point. Wow. That's awesome. Well, today, earlier I titled the show, Polly's Journey, Exposing Vaccine Injuries and Hospital Protocols, but I think I want to add deaths in there, vaccine injuries and deaths, because we've learned about a lot of deaths that have taken place from the vaccines as well. And your mission, as we said, is just of utmost importance. It's got to be out there, just like we have to get our story out there, because the devil is fighting for souls. And we know that no vaccine is safe, as your husband John pointed out. And now we know that no hospital is 100% safe. You know, like you had mentioned, you know, if you break a leg, you're going to have to go, but you got to have an advocate in there. You know, you're definitely not going to let your loved one out of your sight. We have to seek out, you know, clinics that are safe. We have a wonderful nurse practitioner that she is just phenomenal. I mean, we feel comfortable that we could call her. And most of these nurse practitioners are at the level of a doctor anyway. And I trusted them more when I would have to take, you know, Grace in. If her regular doctor wasn't available, I would take the nurse practitioner, you know, in a heartbeat. But, you know, we have to seek out safe places. And I believe on Grace's website, to ouramazinggrace.net, there is a link called The Wedge. And I believe that they were starting to put together different clinics and even safe hospital, a list of them, so that, you know, you didn't have to go into some of these facilities that you didn't feel safe about. So that might be something to check in. I haven't been on the website, you know, quite that often as Scott is, but I believe it's called The Wedge. Last of all, Don, I want you to bring up the picture of the CHD bus that Polly's been part of. This is where Rebecca and I had, like she mentioned at the start, started our Mothers for Justice, and we were able to sign our girls' names on that bus. Polly's mission with CHD is just unbelievable, and I'm sad to hear Bella had told me that it's in April it's going to come to a halt because you guys are going to be focusing on the documentary. But when I looked at this bus, when I walked up closer and I saw all the signatures, my breath, you know, was taken away, because I thought, oh my gosh, and this is just a fraction, everyone, of the families that were affected by vaccine injuries and also hospital protocol deaths. And one thing I want to point out is if you were able to walk inside that bus, you would be brought to tears, because inside that bus, there are pictures galore of people and children, grandparents, and all ages in between that have lost their lives or been vaccine injured. And you are touched in such a way. And to know that you've been out there, Paul, for years exposing this. And, you know, this bus just says it all. But yet it's only a fraction of the families that have been affected.
I don't think we have to stop it. I mean, it's very expensive to have a bus like that, but we have to get on and write and make this documentary. It's the most important thing we can do. Yeah. But that doesn't mean to say it's not going to go back out again. Remember, who's in charge?
Okay, awesome. Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, it is a huge mission. And I think that, you know, God will provide, and he will get you going again. You know, right now, like you said, you're heading into a different season right now. And you know that season of getting the documentary out is the priority.
I'll keep you updated on that.
That's awesome. So what Bella, is Bella your daughter, by the way?
Yes.
Is that a different Bella?
Yeah,
it is. Okay. Well,
oh, no.
I just put the two together.
I met her. I didn't know Bella was your daughter.
Yeah, she is.
I was thinking that. She does a great job. So
what she had said is that you are going to be doing the interviews now virtually.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so everyone that's listening, if you happen to know of somebody that had been vax injured or were hurt by the hospital protocols, either injured or had died, you have an opportunity to share your story. And then until that bus comes around, but you can still do it virtually. And so what you will be able to do at the end of the show in the show notes, Bella's email will be in there so that you can contact Bella and schedule an online interview with Polly and share your story, because we must keep telling others about this evil vaccine agenda and how it's taken our loved ones' lives, and also to expose these doctors and nurses that were carrying out the hospital protocols. Is without us speaking out, it's just not going to stop. And that's what's so very important in this whole note. So your online virtual stories are still going to make a difference. So
yes, we're going to
have to be on the bus. Right. It doesn't have to be on the bus. And so I'm hoping that people will reach out to Bella and get themselves scheduled. And then they don't have to wait for the bus. That's even the bigger blessing.
Yeah. And we'll sign your names, the names on, and put memorial pictures up. So yeah, do contact us.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah.
So after hearing all of this, this morning I got a scripture, and I want to conclude with the scripture. It's a quote from the Bible. It's 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. We have all experienced firsthand how money has stripped away humanity, and many of us are now being utilized to do, it's just very emotional to talk about this, because I can't believe that the love of money would make doctors and nurses do this. And it's very hard. It's destroying us. And it's all because of money.
You cannot serve both God or money, and money, one or the other. But take a pick. I know which way I'm going.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But thanks, Polly, for being our guest today. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, just much love to you both, because you're both suffering a lot, got heartbreak and pain, and you're using it to warn others. And there's nothing, I think that's God's work. So thank you for doing that. And we'll never forget your girls, know that. They're on the bus. And yeah, we're never going to do that. And we stick together. And everybody, anyone listening who's suffering in the same kind of heartbreak, just know that you are loved. I think people forget they are immensely loved.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, Polly. Yep. In closing, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And all of us are on a mission to help educate people. Rebecca and I are out there exposing hospital murders, and you're out there exposing the dangers of vaccines. And so we want to make sure that we keep this mission going, because it's making a difference. We just sometimes don't feel like it is, but it is. And God's behind us. He's the one that's carrying us through, and he's opening doors for all of us. And we just got to remember to trust and look to him, because he will get us through all this, and he will help us with this mission that we all are on. So thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you to Children's Health. But we'll keep in contact.
Yes. Awesome. Yes. Thank you so much.
Bye, everybody.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
For further details, we return you now to your regularly scheduled program.